Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. This is a mixed bag of a show. We have a lot of these shows, but we're going to do a little bit of a preview, a little bit of news, talk about our favorite quarterback in the world who plays for the Seahawks. Yes, Brett Hundley. And we'll talk about some other stuff, but you know, one note that I will say before we get into the show is that I want to apologize for the wacky time that we're posting this because, you know, with the rain in California that we've kind of had to shift things around with when we record this show. So apologies for that. I know some people were waiting for the show, which is really weird for me to say that people are waiting to hear us talk, but you know, it's always appreciated. And so before we get into the show, also, I'll do a quick intro. I am Grant Goldberg. I co-host the Locked On Seahawks podcast, and I do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's Lakers site, and Spike is a writer with The Stranger. And you know, I think we should get right into it, Spike, unless you have anything to open with. But there's been a lot of injuries and on both sides too, but obviously this is a Seahawks podcast, so we'll start with that. And you know, I'll say most notably Dwayne Brown with an ankle injury. That's gonna be huge for the Seahawks to see if he's gonna go on Monday night against the ferocious Lions front seven. So Spike, you know, we should be worried, like really worried about that, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of bad news on the injury front. Obviously Fluker out for a couple weeks, and KJ Wright not participating. Those we knew about. Chris Carson, Trey Madden, Shamar Stephen, and Shalom Lawani, all limited. We knew that was the case. Shaquem Griffin, who, by the way, side note, please join our giveaway for a Shaquem Griffin t-shirt. Yes. You do that by retweeting a tweet that is on the Locked On Seahawks tweets on both of our Twitter accounts, leaving a review, and subscribing to the podcast. We will hook you up with you will be entered to be hooked up with an awesome Shaquem Griffin shirt. He was injured as well. Obviously, the bigger surprise injuries: Doug Baldwin, Dwayne Brown, Deion Jordan. Two of those are less surprising than others. Deion Jordan and Doug Baldwin have been very injury prone this year. That leaves Dwayne Brown. That's a problem. This Minnesota pass rush is quite good. Dwayne Brown has been a rock in terms of protecting Russell Wilson this year. Obviously, he had a holding penalty last week. He's not perhaps Walter Jones, but he's so, so steady for this team. And this offensive line has been so solid this year, especially with Jordan Simmons already coming in to relieve DJ Fluker for the foreseeable future. Losing Brown would be a big deal. Now, we do not know as of right now what the severity of this injury is, what the odds are that he plays. But the fact that it's a DNP instead of a limited participation is frightening. The fact that it's new is frightening. Hopefully, it is not a severe ankle sprain. Obviously, if it is, we got trouble in a matchup that's already going to be difficult for the Seahawks team in so many different ways. It's not that Minnesota is a particularly great team. It's that it is a brutal matchup in a bunch of ways. The one saving grace is Seattle's ability to protect Russell Wilson can slow down something Minnesota does really well. The rest of what Minnesota does well matches up with Seattle's weaknesses. And so if this becomes a weakness because Brown is out, because Fluker is out, we are in trouble.
Yeah, it's going to be definitely tougher to replace Dwayne Brown than, say, Doug Baldwin and KJ Wright and Deion Jordan. But, you know, the thing that concerns me is that, you know, with this pass rush, you know, there's going to be even more pressure coming from the left side and more pressure on Russell Wilson to, you know, get these balls out fast. And maybe we're going to see a little bit of the return of the happy feet from him that we saw a little bit earlier this season. Because, you know, if he's not used to feeling that pressure coming from that side as much as he is from other sides, you know, that could create an issue, you know, just, you know, from other aspects of the football field. But yeah, I think, I just said it, but Dwayne Brown is definitely the hardest player to replace on the Seahawks offense, not named Russell Wilson, to me. It narrows the Seahawks game plan offensively and what they want to do. I think if Dwayne Brown can't go, who's the obvious replacement? George Fant? And so they can't throw out those jumbo packages with Fanton and reporting eligible as a tight end. Or there's layers to this, and I think that, you know, if he can't go, it's gonna spell trouble for the Seahawks in multiple ways.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Right, and I mean, and on the other side too, you know, Eric Kendricks, linebacker for the Vikings, was a DNP again. I think for the second or third time this week. And he's a big part of their defense in the middle of the field. Brother of Seahawks linebacker and white-collar criminal Michael Kendricks. I think if they're missing him, it's not going to have the same kind of impact that missing a Dwayne Brown would on the Seahawks offensive line, because there's so much depth on that Minnesota defense.
Yeah, I mean, their linebacking is not the best aspect of their defense, especially without Kendricks. There could be some opportunities there. When I think about what this Minnesota defense as well, though, with Everson Griffin being back in the lineup, Danielle Hunter, Sheldon Richardson, Tom Johnson, like, we got issues just getting through that front line, especially right. If we've got reserves in. But if we can get to that second level, it could be one of those things where it feels like we're banging our heads against the wall, body blows style, but then it opens up some explosive runs or intermediate passes in the middle of the game. So, you know, that could be really impactful. It's also just really tough to say at this point. I wish I knew how hurt Dwayne Brown was. I feel like I don't know. I feel like I should be telling you at home how hurt Dwayne Brown is right now. And I'm like, is he like very hurt or is he like a little hurt?
See, this is why people listen to us, because we're relatable. We're in the seat that the fan is right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
See, we're not privy to this insider information. We wish we were, but we're not. And so, yeah, this is going to be a scary couple of days trying to figure out the status for Dwayne Brown going into Monday night against the Vikings. And if he can't go, I think, you know, obviously I talked about Fant, but on the other side of things, you know, in that tight end group, I think Ed Dixon's going to have a big impact in run blocking and pass catching, especially too if Eric Kendricks cannot play, because Kendricks can do a little bit of everything at that linebacker position. So, you know, if he can't go, it should open up some opportunities for that tight end group.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody knows how hurt Dwayne is.
We might have to just put this show on hold until we find out how hurt.
If Bob Condotta is saying it's unclear if either injury is serious, Seattle Times beat reporter Bob Condotta, then nobody knows. Dwayne Brown doesn't know how badly he's hurt if Bob doesn't know.
Yeah, Bob will find out before Dwayne does. But I think this is a good time to take a quick break. We'll come back, answer some of your questions, talk about a specific quarterback that I name dropped earlier in the show, and get to the rest of what we're going to talk about. So stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. Guys, it's cold outside. Now, it's already messed with how Spike and I record this show with all the rain, but you're out in the wind. It's just no good. You're cold. You don't like it. And it's good because, you know, it presents an opportunity to, you know, buy something from one of our sponsors, and that's Action Heat. Today's show is brought to you by Action Heat. Action Heat is the world's best battery-heated clothing. It's heat on demand at the touch of a button. You can control your environment with Action Heat. Their clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. And they can also be used, the batteries can also be used, to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. It's perfect for any friend or family member on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors or just enjoys being outdoors, whether it be skiers or snowboarders or anybody that's just outside or hates being cold. So, you know, Action Heat is giving you an opportunity to have a great deal to save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the promo code LOCKEDON to check out with 20% off of your order. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. And we are back with the next portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant and Spike. And now I think we will start with some questions from our listeners that waited a little bit to have their questions answered. And both of them are surrounding Russell Wilson. The first question comes from KingDavid005. And he says, with the impending contract situation on the way, do you think the Seahawks will extend Russell Wilson? Great content and great work every day, every week. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I think the Seahawks should and will attempt to extend Russell Wilson. I don't know if it happens this offseason, though I assume they got to start having those conversations. And I think with Wilson, it's a situation where you just give him Aaron Rodgers' deal. That is where we are with Russell Wilson. I know that sounds a little crazy because Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, but that's the way the quarterback market works, is if you've got a guy on the top end of it, unless he is A1, and that's the guy who's going to reset the market the way Rodgers did this time, the way Matt Ryan did last time, I think what you do is you just go top deal on the market plus one for Russ, and you just give him that deal, and you just go with it. He's 30 years old. You know, Rodgers is already... when he signed his deal this year, he's in his decline phase. And, you know, part of what we're seeing on the field with him is a little bit injuries. It's a little bit stagnation with Mike McCarthy, but a lot of it is that he's 35. The next deal Russell Wilson signs is the end of his prime, you know, but it's still his absolute prime. So I think the Seahawks are absolutely in a position where they should be giving Russell Wilson the deal. Just match the deal at the top of the market. Give it to him. Do it. Do it now. Like, because if you don't do it, the risk is, you know, the Panthers do it with Cam Newton or someone else resets the market higher, and then you've got to top that deal. You know what I mean? At any given moment when you've got a great quarterback, and I think right now we can say Russell Wilson is a great quarterback. He is, I believe, fourth in the league in passer rating, tied with Philip Rivers, and that's in a Brian Schottenheimer-led offense. He is, and the Ringer's Kevin Clark made this argument today. This argument is going to start coming out a bunch, that he is the dark horse MVP candidate. Now, Mighty, we were saying that same thing last year in Week 12, and obviously the season didn't end well, but, you know, 9-7 this year will probably get us in the playoffs the way that 9-7 last year did not get us in the playoffs, and the infrastructure around Russell Wilson is so diminished with the exception of the offensive line compared to where it has been over the past, especially in defense, that if he can get us to the playoffs with this group of guys, it's unbelievable. And we're just seeing how unbelievable he's been on the field. His deep ball is there. He's passing so well from the pocket. He's answering the questions that we've had, or that some people have had. Obviously, a lot of Seahawks fans don't really have questions. We see his greatness, but he's still evolving, still getting better, still more effective. Pay Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson should be on MVP ballots. I don't think he's number one for me yet. I think he's like number four, but he's number four for me, to be clear, behind only Rivers, Breeze, and Mahomes. So pay Russell Wilson. Give him Aaron Rodgers this deal. Do it now. That's my call. I don't know if the team will do that. Grant, how do you feel?
Well, I mean, you basically said everything there is to say surrounding the Russell Wilson contract situation. And for a good reason. You know, there's a lot of good points to be made. And I especially like the part where you talked about just setting the new standard for a quarterback deal. You know, you see guys constantly becoming the new highest paid player in NFL history. Russell Wilson is on track to become that. And the faster the Seahawks do it, the better, for the exact reason that you said. And so, just so I'm not super redundant and, you know, just agreeing with everything you're saying, I'll take the lead on our next Russell Wilson question. And this comes from Chris White 24. He says, love the pod. And, you know, we always are working on the audio level, but he says, would love a little more consistent leveling in the audio. But overall, awesome insight and fun structure week to week. I have a question. After the Chargers game, Field Goals posted an article about the Jerron Brown overthrow potentially being due to the Seahawks continually working with Wilson to improve his throwing mechanics inside the pocket. Do you think that with some of the wide open misses, Brown versus the Chargers, Baldwin versus Carolina, due to the discomfort in learning new throwing mechanics? If so, at what point should the coaching staff tell him to settle down and do what he's comfortable doing? Well, I think there's a lot of, you know, variables to the situation. There's the new offensive coordinator, the new quarterback's coach, and new look offensive line and a couple different receivers to throw to. So I don't think maybe it's just on his throwing mechanics, because what's worked for Russell Wilson throughout his career, being as short as he is finding, you know, this the open window in the pocket and having a super high release point. And his big hands obviously help throwing the ball. But, you know, that's what's worked for him. And so, you know, I think we're seeing maybe a little bit of a mixture of the coaching staff, maybe loosening the reins with how they want him throwing the ball and letting Russell get back to what he's done throwing the ball. Because, you know, I think you have to find the middle ground. I don't think that there's any one perfect way for a quarterback to throw the ball. And so when you can find that happy medium with the ideal throwing motion from a coaching staff and something that feels comfortable for your quarterback, I think that's when you start to find a lot of success. And I think we saw that in the last game against the 49ers, just the efficiency. Russell Wilson didn't have to throw it more than 17 times, and when he did throw the ball, it was very successful. So no, maybe that was just bad defense, obviously, in the 49ers group. That's probably the case. But you know, when Russell Wilson has games like that to kind of figure out what he wants to do with the ball and how he wants to place it, I think we've seen a couple times, especially with that touch on the David Moore pass, the touch on the Tyler Lockett touchdown against San Francisco, that you know we're seeing absolutely great touch from Russell Wilson, and I think that's a product of him finding this middle ground with the coaching staff.
Yeah, let me just also say, like, quarterbacks miss passes.
Yeah.
You know, I think that Wilson on the season is 66.6% on his accuracy, almost exactly 2/3, which in today's NFL is not quite what it would have been a little while ago. There are a bunch of dudes over 70%. Kirk Cousins is one of them. But Wilson throws more deep balls in terms of a percentage of his overall attempts than anyone else in the league, even more than Mahomes. And he's as effective on deep balls as anyone in the league except for Drew Brees. Like, so Aaron Rodgers misses passes. Ben Roethlisberger, oh my God, I don't know if you watched his last game, but geez, he was missing everything. You know, and Wilson misses high sometimes. We've seen that. A little bit of that is related to his height. A little bit of that is just he loves to put air under the ball, and so he just misses high every now and then. And it's like part of his repertoire. Also, missing high is less likely to get picked, and Lord knows this offense emphasizes avoiding turnovers, and so that's a little bit of it too. I'll also say that his footwork, and I don't know how much of this is mechanical changes that are intentional from the coaching staff or what he's working on or just the reality of his situation, which is he's facing different and less thoroughly devastating pressure than he has over the last few years, let's put it that way. And so there are times where his footwork is maybe not quite as refined as you want when he has the opportunity to slide up in the pocket. We've seen him slide up into what looks like an open pocket, but then he's got a little less room to finish his throw, a little less room to follow through. So I think if I were to highlight any aspect of his mechanics that's really related to this inaccuracy, and again, I think the inaccuracy is overstated. It is more a result of what throws he's being asked to throw, and he's throwing them very well, but they are inherently going to miss more often than some other offensive throws. But the one thing is, as he slides up in the pocket, he's still getting used to that. He's getting better at that. Sometimes he gives himself not quite enough room with his feet to get his arm all the way through his throws.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of great points on Russell Wilson, but I think we should be happy with the way he's throwing the ball. Obviously, he's putting up the best numbers of his career, so he's doing something right. The coaching staff must think he's doing something right. So, you know, let's keep going, Russell Wilson.
Career low interception rate, career high touchdown rate. It says explosives are back. The accuracy is a career high in terms of second highest accuracy behind only that 2015 season where he ended on such a hot run. That's the hope. Let's hope that he can just keep this momentum going. Let's do this thing. I got breaking news.
Ooh.
Cable Thanos, the incredible Seahawks
video editor,
Twitter poster. I was gonna use a bad word, but we're on the Lockdown Podcast Network, we don't do that. Just tweeted out my first name is Josh, so we know that Cable Thanos is some guy named Josh. So
Josh, if you're listening, we all love you. He's the rookie of the year, MVP of Seahawks Twitter. Not enough praise. The videos that he makes. If you haven't seen Josh's videos or Cable Thanos's videos, I strongly recommend you watch it. I don't think that you'll be prepared for what you see, but it's definitely an experience, and it's a positive experience. That's what I'll say for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, you know, after that breaking news, it's hard to top it. But you know, while we're on the topic of kind of posting nonsense, we got a 2-star review from KO33, and he said, "Y'all are close," with 2 stars. And he says, "If you want to have a pod with statistical breakdowns and quit with your guessing BS, get Raggedy Kev on IG. He loves the Hawks, loves stats, and lives football. Doesn't like commas, though."
Yeah, okay, we shouldn't have said the name of the Instagram. Don't promote your Instagram in our reviews. Come on, man. If you're going to promote your Instagram in our reviews, at least give us a 5-star review. Raggedy Kev, you know what? Good name. Your name is right on. You're raggedy. You're nothing. You're done. You're over. It's over. You are Tom Cable. Okay, you're living in the past, and you're letting Russell Wilson get hit over and over again. Russell Wilson's knee is ruined because of you. That's how raggedy you are.
Stick to IG, Raggedy Kev.
Get out of here. Ugh. Oh, boy. All right. All right. Is that the end of the mailbag segment?
No, there's one more.
Okay.
There's one more.
Oh, boy. Says, all right.
Hands down, the best podcast on birds you'll listen to today. It's a 5-star review from Big Larry from Worcester. He says, "This is my favorite podcast about birds on iTunes, right ahead of the American Birding Podcast. They talk about football a weird amount, but if I were going to listen to a 12-year-old's opinions on football, it would definitely be Grant Goldberg. I followed his betting advice and finally won enough money to buy the Hyacinth Macaw I've always wanted. Spike is okay, too." Now, if you're listening, Harrison Fagan, editor-in-chief at Silver Screen and Roll, thank you for the review. Thank you for taking the time to put on the act as Big Larry and boost our reviews and ratings. So it's always appreciated. Another one, at Marco Omen on Twitter, longtime listener, first-time reviewer. "I'm here for the hot takes and Michael Dixon fan club. We appreciate you always listening. We always see you interacting. So, you know, always thank you, Marco, for listening to the show and being a loyal listener at that." So I think that can finally put a bow on this lengthy, lengthy review portion of this podcast. We'll come back with more Locked On Seahawks, more Locked On Podcast Network. Stay tuned. And we are back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And we got some other news, you know, besides the breaking news of Cable Thanos' name being Josh. But surrounding the sport of football and Seattle, but not the Seahawks. Spike, what in the blue hell is going on?
Yeah, okay, so the XFL is coming to Seattle, and you might... I watched the XFL when I was a kid. I won the 1 year of XFL Fantasy League that I played. You might have, like, sort of, like, kitschy... There's sort of, like, a kitschy garbage-ness to XFL that's, like, kind of fun because it, like, happened in the late 90s, and it was bad, and there was, like, stupid, and they put the nicknames on the back of the jersey, and the most notable player was called He Hate Me. And, it, you know, it's a sort of silliness. And, you know, here's what I'm going to say. In the year of our Lord 2018, you cannot create a football league based around player safety being not important. And that's what the XFL was. The biggest changes to the XFL were, instead of a coin flip, two dudes tried to hurt each other to get the ball, and in the very first game, one dude suffered a season-ending shoulder separation because it was two dudes wrestling for the ball on the ground. So that was innovation number one. Innovation number two was no fair catches on punts. The dudes were just getting blown up on punts. Now, we know, like, again, in 1999, we knew enough to be like, I don't know about this, but I guess, this is stupid. I'm not going to watch. In 2018, we know enough to know that that is basically criminal negligence. that the XFL is a brand based around criminal negligence, and that they are combining a brand based around criminal negligence and injuring the players of the sport that we enjoy watching with, as they've talked about, like, regulations on how much you kneel for the, like, it's all about jingoism and, like, respecting America. So we're combining injuring the players and, like, disrespecting Colin Kaepernick in one football league that will be producing an inferior product in, again, in 2018, when we know how severe the head injury issue is with football anyway. And we're talking about players getting paid far less than they get paid in the NFL. We're talking about far fewer protections than the NFL's already scant medical protections. We're talking about a league that is designed to just exploit people who cannot quite make it to the NFL and do it in the name of violence and, frankly, racism. It's so disgusting. So I just want to get out in front of, like, I'm going to ironically watch the XFL, which is like what I would have felt if the year were 1999. I didn't know any better. We all know better now. Don't get on board with this. This is bad. Do not support this. Like, the NFL is already enough of a compromise. Football is inherently a compromise, but the NFL at least well compensates players and gives them a podium. And, like, we've gotten to be fans of such incredible guys. Like, all the good things about the NFL will not be there in the XFL. And instead, the worst things about the NFL will be heightened to 100. And I don't care what your politics are in terms of, like, the kneeling thing or whatever. Like, that's all fair. If you disagree with me on that, that is totally fair. That is absolutely fair. And, like, set that aside. Supporting an institution that is based around injuring its own labor is disgusting. It's just disgusting. And reviving it is just an obviously exploitative cash grab. I'm furious that this is coming back. I'm furious that it's coming to Seattle. I don't like it. I don't like it. And this is a podcast where we talk about football. And so I'm going to rant about it. I do not like this. It is not funny. It is not kitschy. It is not cool. It is just bad. Yeah. All right. I'm done.
I guess
the opposite of Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, I will rant about how good he is. The XFL, I will rant about how bad it is.
I guess my lone remark or thought about this, and since you said, you know, a lot of, you know, really eye-opening things about this, and me being as young as I am, I didn't really get to watch the XFL, and it was kind of like an urban legend for me.
I got to watch it, baby. Tommy Maddox in the LA Rage, I believe.
Jesus. yeah. The thing is, you know, with a league like the NFL not being able to handle player safety to the standard that we think they should be able to, what are these players thinking when they sign up for the XFL? Like, it's almost career suicide.
Well, except that it's going to be old, like, retread running backs. Like, that's what happened in the XFL. It was, like, guys like Rashawn Salaam. And so, basically, in today's NFL, it would be, frankly, it would be like Eddie Lacy. It would be Eddie Lacy putting his body on the line for, like, one last paycheck and to maybe get another chance at the NFL. And it's exploiting the desperation of guys who are at the back end of their career, or college guys who couldn't quite make it. And I mean, there is a version of a minor league for the NFL that should exist, where dudes who are like practice squad level can play games, get paid money. The XFL is not that. That league should be safer than the NFL, because again, those games wouldn't really matter. It would be about getting those guys better and ready to play in the NFL. This is the opposite of that. Also, just a correction, it was the Orlando Rage and the LA Extreme, the Las Vegas Outlaws. Again, this was branding around just like extreme violence. Like, literally, imagine given the domestic violence crisis in the NFL and just the violence crisis. I mean, like, Reuben Foster and Kareem Hunt are two very different issues, but like two dudes who are big names in the NFL who just had to leave the NFL because their violence issues outside of the sport were beyond the pale. The XFL is the sort of brand that is connected with teams called the Rage and Outlaws. It is about violence in a way that is not, like, football is a violent sport. the XFL is about a different kind of violence. And I called it the late 90s. It was 2001 was the year of the XFL. It is gross, and it should not be coming back given everything we know about the health of these players.
Yeah, yep, I agreed. And if you're thinking of watching XFL, then you agree with hurting people, and that's never good.
it's that straightforward. And like, we're already, I don't know, I'm sorry.
Like, that's the short version of everything you just said, hurting people physically, mentally, emotionally. That's the XFL, and that's the short version of everything Spike just said. So if you got to this point, you should have just fast-forwarded to this 15 seconds that I just explained it. But, no, we have to rant about things sometimes, and just from a morality standpoint. And so I totally get that. And so I think that's actually a good place to stop for today's show. It was a really fun one, and I appreciate you guys waiting it out and waiting to listen to us talk our quote BS about football and guessing about things. Shout out to that 2-star review, Raggedy Kev. Stay on the sidelines. But thank you guys. Leave a good review, a 5. I'm gonna say no 2-star reviews right now. 5 or 4-star review on iTunes and or Apple Podcasts. Reach out to us on Twitter at Grant Goldberg, at Spike Friedman, and the show's Twitter is at Lock Seahawks. Participate in our Shaquem Griffin t-shirt giveaway. We're partnering with Officialize. Follow them, retweet the tweet, and subscribe, rate, and review our show, and you can be entered to win the Shaquem Griffin t-shirt. So, yeah, make sure you take advantage of that. Not every day those opportunities come around. Spike, did I forget anything?
I don't think you did. Listen to other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. NBA stuff is really good right now. So if you want to support a sport that is not the NFL, maybe go with the NBA and not the XFL. So NBA, or hockey. Seattle's gonna get hockey. I don't know is there locked on hockey. I don't think there is.
I don't think there is yet. You can be the start of the Locked On Hockey Network. No, but we strongly suggest that you listen to every other show. Not every other show on the podcast, but not every other show that you're interested in. Go ahead and check it out. Maybe you'll stumble onto something good. So for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I am Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.